At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey, warm up, Amiibo! Welcome above in Las Vegas for Costa Seeps with myself, Craig Eeps Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family of Podcasts. We've got a great podcast for you. We'll be joined momentarily by one of our good friends in Nick Lawrence, and he does great work over at Mid-Major Madness. We're going to be chatting with him about just some of the coaching movement that we have been seeing thus far in the offseason. We're going to be taking a look at the two Final Four games with him. And then in the final segment, we're going to get you guys picks and analysis on both of these Final Four games as we hit some bang shots. It's a pretty straightforward podcast today, as essentially the hate is in the barn when it comes to this college basketball season. I'm going to be deciphering what we get in the Final Four and perhaps making a few slight tweaks based on recent form for the national title game. But I mean, this is bringing to an end the 2023-24 season, so we're certainly going to be getting into off-season mode. This will be a good primer for that, but at the same time, we will highlight all four of these teams that have been able to make it to the Final Four with Nick, give you guys my picks and analysis. I was looking at some ancillary markets, trying to see if there might be anything that I don't normally bet that I like in terms of Final Four. Really didn't see a whole heck of a lot. I think a little bit of this is a byproduct of the fact that we do have two rather lopsided lines when it comes to this game, as typically when it comes to these games, typically you don't find a Final Four where one team is an 8.5 to a 9-point favorite and the other team is an 11.5 to a 12-point favorite. Very out of the ordinary, to say the least, but we're going to be diving in on what we're going to be seeing this offseason and how big of a week this is in general out there in Arizona for these teams trying to lay the groundwork for next season as well, looking at the Final Four, and then we're going to get you guys those picks for the Final Four in the final segment. Just a little bit of a reminder, I will be doing this podcast every single day throughout the offseason as well. So after the Nets get cut down on Monday, you're going to get a fresh podcast on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, every single day, as our work is never done with regards to college basketball. Once those Nets are cut down, it's all about trying to be able to work to make you money for the 2024-25 season. And with north of 1,400 players currently in the transfer portal, there's no shortage of things to take a look at. And if you ever do have a question, comment, segment idea, whatever you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter/X timeline at @JNet_D1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you are able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. We did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, so let's welcome him in. Nick Lawrence, he does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, taking a look at this great game that we all know and love. He is actually out there in the lovely state of Arizona for the Final Four. He does great work all 12 months out of the year, taking a look at this game of college basketball. He, much like myself, taking a look at these Final Four games, but also turning it forward to the 2024-25 season with these coaching moves, with the transfer portal, and so much more. You're able to follow him on Twitter/X at the letter N. His last name, Lawrenson, spelled Lorensen, all together, and then the word sports on the back half of that. And Nick, it is a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
It's always great to hop on here, Greg. It's been a couple weeks since I last hopped on here. It's probably before the NCAA tournament, been so busy. like you mentioned, I'm looking forward to next season, big in the transfer portal, digging into that. You have the NCAA tournament going on. There's just so much going on. I'm out in Arizona, like Greg mentioned. It's raining. I thought it doesn't rain in the desert.
Hey, I'm out here in lovely Las Vegas, too. And on Friday, I was getting a little bit of drizzle myself, and it was like in the mid-50s. That was very strange, to say the least. But fortunately, with the great game of basketball, it is played indoors and not outdoors. So we don't have to worry about that. And what we do have to worry about is potentially some games getting a little bit out of hand, because I can't remember last time we had two Final Four games with a spread north of 8, with Purdue about an 8.5 to a 9-point favorite over NC State, UConn an 11.5 point favorite over Alabama. Do you see it the same way that those out here in lovely Las Vegas do, and that we're probably going to get two relatively lopsided games? Or do you think that one of these teams in Purdue and UConn going to get a little bit of a fight?
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense. You know, UConn and Purdue have pretty much been running through this tournament, dominating teams in the second half after some fairly close first halves. The craziest thing, you know, when the Final Four was set, I looked at the future, you know, matchups, what could happen. If UConn and NC State were to win, the line right now is set at 15.5. At least it was earlier this week. It was set at 15.5, which is absolutely bizarre for a national championship game. Those are football type of numbers. 15.5 points, that's absolutely crazy. But it's really going to come down to, this has been the year of the big once again. It'll be super interesting watching DJ Burns and Zach Edey face off against each other. Zach Edey's had an amazing year, two-time AP Player of the Year. I think it's a safe bet to think that he'll have his way. I was at his press conference earlier today when he was Player of the Year, and NC State's trying to do some scare tactics or whatever. They walk by the press conference room blaring their music, heading out to the gym. So I thought that was pretty silly, but that will be a super fun one to watch. And I think UConn should have its way with Alabama. UConn's had its way with most teams in the second half of these NCAA tournament games. So I think that'll be more lopsided maybe than this NC State-Purdue game. I think that'll be a battle. NC State's been giving everyone a battle. No one's really expecting it, especially after some slow starts of recent. And then they're able to just come back. They never give up. They keep fighting. 9 straight elimination game wins. I'm a mid-major guy, but I'm going to say safely, this is probably the best NCAA tournament, best March run I've ever seen in my life. You're never going to see something like this again.
Yeah, and I just can't get behind the people trying to say, oh, NC State is in a Cinderella because they're a power conference team. They needed a banked-in three off of a front end of a 1-1 miss from Virginia just to force overtime in their conference tournament. Forget the NCAA tournament. That's as much of a Cinderella run as you get. And as they always say, a cat has 9 lives. They've played 9 elimination games in order to be able to get here. So, I mean, that's about as good of a run as it gets. And now they have to go up against Purdue. And there's been a lot of buzz about how Zach Edey has been getting calls / non-calls with regards to fouls, what have you. And I do think that that is going to be a big-time difficulty for NC State, truth be told. Not necessarily the world's greatest rebounding team. But do you think that there's a chance that NC State, I'm not going to say, like, completely contain Zach Edey. I think that that's darn near impossible, but could be able to give a little bit of a speed bump and perhaps push him off his game just a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. You know, the calls are going to be extra tight. These are the best refs in college basketball, so they might not be as lenient as usual with Zach Edey. There might be fewer and fewer calls this time around, and the interesting thing about NC State is they have some depth down low where they can change out. Everyone wants to talk about DJ Burns because he's a sexy big player who makes nice shots and has good feet. But they have a couple dudes down low who can come in, play him hard defensively, maybe send him to the line. And you never know. I think NC State's actually a really tough matchup for this Purdue team. If Purdue would have had Alabama, I think they would have had their own way. But out of the two Final Four matchups, this is definitely the one I'm more intrigued in, which I'm happy it's the earlier game. It's going to get more eyes, in my opinion, being that earlier game.
Yep, it certainly is going to be. And what else I think is going to be an interesting dynamic of this Final Four is that we've got a jump-shooting Alabama team that Now has to play in a football stadium against a UConn team that has been very dominant on defense. And for Alabama, this is a team that they live and die by the three. They're in the top 20 nationally in terms of percentage of the field goal attempts that come from three-point range. And with UConn and the way that they've been able to defend, I just feel like this is going to be a rough go of it for them. I feel like Alabama would have a little bit of a better chance, even if this were like a true road game, just because I do think that the shooter's eye playing out there in a football stadium where the Arizona Cardinals play, that's going to negatively affect Alabama more so than any of these other teams in the Final Four.
Yeah, that's something we talk about at Queens. You know, we're a shooting team, and we played at Austin Peay, a fairly new arena, a hockey arena, and behind the basket, there's a lot of space. So it's a little bit more difficult for these shooting teams to play in big arenas like that. And we could see with Alabama tomorrow, UConn's had this big game experience, NCAA Final Four team last year, won the national title. That defense could just lock them down. So these big games in these big arenas, in these big football stadiums, definitely benefit the defensive team more. It's going to be tough for a jump shooting team like Alabama. They aren't that physical. They're just going to put up shots, hope for long runs. I think it might be tough for them in long stretches.
Yep, I do think that it's going to be relatively rough for them as well. So I'm in agreement on that front. As Nick Lawrenson, he does tremendous work over at Mid-Major Madness. He is joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And if we do get what we're expecting, which would be the Purdue versus UConn national title game, how do you think that sort of a game would play out? Now, recognize that maybe we're giving a little bit of short shrift to Alabama along with NC State, but I do think that it's pretty clear that Purdue versus UConn, if they aren't the best two teams in college basketball this season, they're two of the top three teams that we've seen in college basketball this season. And I do think that Purdue would be one of those few teams that would actually match up quite well with UConn.
I think it would be an absolute battle, and it might not be all that high scoring. I'd be super excited to see that. You got Klingon against Edie down low. It's what we've been hoping for all season in college basketball. It's what we've been hoping for a long time. You know, it's awesome when we have these Cinderella teams make a run. But when you have two teams that are as dominant as these two teams have been all year, there's no better way to end a season than to have these two match up. You know, you have a UConn team all year. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to dominate everyone. They're going to dominate their way back to the finals. They're going to win another NCAA tournament. And then you have a Purdue team who's just dominated the regular season the last couple of years, won the Big Ten. But their knock has been they haven't been able to win the big game. Zach Edey. People want to attack Zach Edey, think he's not a great big man. He's just tall. He can do a lot. He's a super impressive player. So they have a chip on their shoulder. Prove everyone wrong after all these years saying that they're just a fraudulent Big Ten team. Let's see if we can do it. And then you have UConn who's trying to win the back-to-back titles, which doesn't happen that much in any sport. So I think it's going to be an awesome defensive game. It's going to come down to what happens down low between those two. It'll be one of the better national title games we've seen in quite some time. Definitely different than last year.
Yep, no question about it. And hopefully we do get that matchup. That is something that you always want to see as a sports fan. You always want to see the best two teams. Sometimes you just don't get that in college basketball. Sometimes you get like an 8 seed in the national title game, which we've seen twice in the last 10 years. Certainly, we have a chance to be able to get an 11 seed in the national title game, but I do think that Purdue is just going to be a little bit too much for NC State, and we are going to have ourselves two nice games that are going to be going down on Saturday. But, Nick, I know that while you're taking a look at Saturday, pretty much for the year 2023-24 in terms of taking a look at these games, taking a look at these teams, hey, is in the barn. We've got three games remaining, but I know that you're already hard at work for the 2024-25 season as I'm starting to turn the page forward to that as well. And what have you made out of some of these offseason moves that we have seen thus far? Because the transfer portal is certainly starting to fill up, and a lot of the coaching moves that we were anticipating for the offseason have quite frankly already happened.
Yeah, when you look at it, most of these coaching changes, they've already happened, which I think is kind of crazy. There's some that I really like. Like, I love Pat Kelsey to Louisville. I think next year they could be a top 25 team at a time of the season. I think they could be a 6-7 seed in the NCAA tournament. That dude's just a winner. We saw it at Charleston for a long time. I love Ben McCollum going to Drake. That's been his dream job for as long as I've known anything about him. It's just like Josh Schertz. Josh Schertz went there. He went to Indiana State, and he was super impressive. Now he's at SLU, Josh Schertz is, and he could win there with a lot of resources in a winnable league that really hasn't had a team, maybe Dayton, who's been completely dominant over the last couple of years. There's other, like Missouri State hiring Kwanzo Martin again. That's like a head scratch for me. You know, I think he can win 20 games, 22 games, but they aren't going to be a dominant force year in and year out. I feel like it's just like a, hey, let's hope we get a run in St. Louis. Let's hope we do something here. Drew Joyce going to Duquesne. I think that was the right hire for them. That's super exciting for him. There's a chance that could get Bronny James, who officially entered the transfer portal on Friday, put his name in the NBA draft as well. I think that could be super interesting over there. Austin Clonch going to UTSA. I think UTSA might not compete for an American title, but I feel like they're going to be a lot better than they have been in the past. And then in the transfer portal, you know, it's always turning. There's not been too many crazy big moves so far. A lot of the bigger moves have been guys following their head coaches to new gigs, such as Rain Smith from Charleston to Louisville. We're at an interesting point right now. The dead period just started, the week-long dead period. So coaches technically can't talk to kids. The transfer portal closes in 2 weeks. A lot of these kids have to make decisions sometime soon, so they're kind of set if they want to practice over the summer. It's a really, really interesting time in college basketball right now. We say we sleep in May, but we truly never sleep in this beautiful sport.
No, we truly do not. And they say that we sleep in May as well. I'm doing baseball during the month of May as well. So that certainly will not be myself too. So it really has become an all 12 months out of the year sport. And I do think that it is going to be really interesting to see how everything plays out in terms of the transfer portal, because as I was alluding to, north of 1,400 guys have already entered their name, and fewer than 15% of guys have made their decision. So a lot of guys are holding off, and I think rightfully so. You don't want to be making any sort of like a super rash decision or anything like that. But just how critical is this week for these teams that were not in the Final Four? Because you're out there in Arizona. I know that most coaches, most just coaching staffs in general are out there. There's a lot of players that are in the transfer portal that are out there in Arizona. And I feel like this is actually one of the biggest weeks of the year for the teams that aren't in the Final Four, because this week really does lay the groundwork for getting things rolling with the transfer portal and just coaches and players getting to know one another and trying to do, for lack of a better term, recruiting.
Yeah, there's lots of phone calls, people always stepping aside. You know, they talk about that during the month of March and April in offices, but it's even crazier here. There's meetings everywhere. It's big for coaching staffs. You know, you build your coaching staffs, you build those relationships with fellow coaches around the country because everyone's here at the same time. If you need a true story about a kid that you're recruiting in the transfer portal, you're going to get it more likely in person, the true facts about the kid, than over the phone call, because a lot of the time, you know, these coaches could be fabricating, hey, let's just set him there for whatever. So if you're there in person, it's just psychology. You're not going to get many lies when you're talking to someone man-to-man, face-to-face, especially after some long nights out, which some of these coaches do over this week. It's a really, really important week. It's an awesome week. There's no week like Final Four week when everyone's together and everyone's enjoying themselves and rallying around our sports. So it's probably my favorite week of the year. I love the first 2 days of March Madness, but nothing beats just being in the same spot with about 1,500 other people who really love the same thing that you do.
Yep, and it's a much more relaxed atmosphere as well. You don't have to worry about keeping your head on the swivel for so many different games going down. And you have like the NIT-CBI games that are going down as well. Now this time of year, we could just start taking a look forward to the 2024-25 campaign and just be able to get a little bit of a lay of the land there. Nick Lawrence, who does great work over at Mid-Major Madness, is joining me right here on Couscous Hoops. And I know you were mentioning in passing Pat Kelsey, him going over to Louisville. That was one of your favorite hires that you saw. But are there a few other ones that really catch your eye? Because I know that you were alluding to this, it felt like, with college basketball right now, we're seeing fewer and fewer retreads, and we're seeing more guys that were at like the D2 level, these guys that were at the low D1 level, being able to rise up very quickly. And honestly, I think that that's very good for the sport. And I think that that could be why I personally have just taken a look at the coaching carousel this offseason. And there just haven't been a lot of moves where I said, yeah, this is a bad move or anything like that, because I feel like the guys that are getting promoted are guys that are proven winners.
Yeah, I agree. You have a guy like Chris Mack at Charleston.
That was a good hire. I love it.
It could be an awesome hire. He was amazing at Xavier, so we know that he's going to go there. He's going to win. He's going to get legit players. But also, if they change leagues, if they stay in the CAA, I think they could be super dominant with him. I think that it could become the Gonzaga of the East. But if they move the A-10, I kind of think there's a chance he could become like another Archie Miller. And I wouldn't want that to happen. That's an awesome school that has lots of resources and could make them a legitimate program. The best thing you can do, I know everyone's going to say, let's go to the A-10. It's sexy. But to be successful, you got to stay in the CAA. Let him get his footing again. I love that. You have Chris Holtman, who's another retread hire. Kind of interesting at DePaul. That's a tough gig, but he could be a lot more successful than a lot of people have been there. I mentioned Ben McCollum earlier at Drake. I think that's a home run hire. I think it's just going to be like Josh Schertz at Indiana State. The only difference is Ben McCollum already had a preconceived love for that Drake program. So he's going to drive and drive and drive to make it the best thing possible. That's a home run hire for that Drake program, who's already had an amazing last couple seasons with Darren DeVries, who went to West Virginia. That could be a good get. That Quanzo Martin hire earlier, like I mentioned, I think that's a little head scratching. I think that he can win 20 games every year, but it's not going to get you in a spot to compete for an at-large bid. I think it's a, hey, let's hope we win a couple games in St. Louis type of gig. I like Mike Jones at ODU. He's going to get them a lot of really good DMV players. He has those DMV connections being at DeMatha for a couple of years. Really love that hire. Dave Smart's out of the box hire at Pacific. He was at Carleton in Canada, which was one of the powerhouses up there in Canadian college basketball. And then he went down to Texas Tech and was an assistant this season. Did a really good job. They need to be out of the box at a place like Pacific. And I think that's a home run for a program like that. Rob Lanier's going to get Rice a lot more wins than they've had in recent history. Jerry McNamara has all the support up there at Siena, just like Carm kind of did. So hopefully he's able to have that success that Carm had before this season. So that really intrigues me. Andy Enfield's in the ACC at SMU, just wild to say ACC SMU. But I think that could be good there. Muss is a guy that doesn't like to be in a place for all too long. Now he's at USC at a beautiful city. You got beautiful weather, and it's an awesome place to recruit, and it's just a big-time city for a big-time personality. I think that could be awesome. I love Scott Nagy going to Southern Illinois. He develops big men like crazy. I think they could have a pro or two in his time over there. Mentioned Josh Schertz earlier. He has so much support now being at St. Louis, one of the better, well-funded mid-major programs in the country. That could be awesome for them. UIC, that's a tough one. I don't know about Rob Hassan coming over from UAB. That'll be an interesting one because that's just a tough place to begin with because they want Chicago kids, and not many kids really want to go to UIC. Jared Calhoun at Utah State, will he be the next one to take the stepping stone there, have a good few years, and get a high-major job? He was able to be really successful at Youngstown State, had an awesome NIL initiative there. That'll be a lot of fun. I mentioned Austin Clonch a little bit earlier. Mark Byington goes to Vandy. That'll be a fun style of basketball at Vanderbilt, what he's done the last couple of years at GMU. I think Danny Sprinkle can win at Washington. David Riley could win at Washington State and the WCC. He's a great young coach with a lot of years ahead of him. Hank Plana at Western Kentucky. He was super successful at Indian Hills. At the JUCO level, let's see if that can translate to the D1 level. At a really strong year in his only year as an assistant there. Brian Earl could take William & Mary to its first NCAA tournament in program history, one of the four original schools to never make the NCAA tournament. That'll be a lot of fun with his fast style in the CAA. I think they can compete really quick in his tenure, which is something that just a lot of mid-major fans have really been feasting for, a good William & Mary program. One to finally make the NCAA tournament. There's so many awesome hires. There's a couple retreads that kind of have my head scratching, but it's awesome. I love the coaching carousel. I love college basketball, but I love these couple weeks where we hear who's going where. I also love UTRGV's hire of the BYU assistant. Great defensive coach. When you go to a place like that, real rugged, you need to play a rugged style of basketball, and I feel like that's what they're going to do down there in Edinburgh. So I love the coaching carousel. It's one of my favorite things about this beautiful sport.
Yep, it is a tremendous thing. And I want to get your thought on one other thing as well. How much in recent years do you think that programs, coaches, just a little bit of everyone have realized, hey, these players, these guys are at the Division II, Division III level. You know what? They can be able to cut it at the Division I ranks because we saw a lot of success stories. Jack Golke certainly was one of the biggest one of them. But And you even take a look at CSUN, what they were able to do with Mark Newman in year number one. I thought that that was relatively impressive. We've seen more of these G2 guys get hired on this coaching cycle. And I do think that's a little bit of a wave in the future. And I think that it's very smart for all these programs that are taking advantage.
Yeah, I think ADs have seen that there's much smaller of a gap between D2 and D1 nowadays. The top tier D1 teams, the ones that make the Elite Eight, or D2 teams that make the Elite Eight, the SAC schools, the ODAC schools, I think that they could win the NEC. Any of the Elite Eight teams could have won the NEC this year. Any of the D2 Elite Eight teams could have won the NEC this year. And they're seeing that. Like, I'm big in the transfer portal right now. I'm digging every day for Queens. You know, we have guys that look at JUCO, but I only look at D2 and D1. If you're putting up numbers at D2 and you're an efficient three-point shooter, that translates. That stuff translates. Maybe you won't score the exact same amount of points, but if you're putting it up in a lower volume, if you're putting up good percentages, there's a chance you'll be really good. Like Jack Golke, that's just an amazing find. For years, wherever he was at, I don't remember where he was at, he was not putting up any points. And then he comes into Oakland, and it just shows Greg Camp he's able to do more with less, and he's been able to do it for years with just these random kids. Trey Townsend was a walk-on. Trey Townsend was a walk-on for him. And he just kept building up. He had a great freshman year. He was player of the year this year. And now he's testing draft waters and isn't in the transfer portal, I believe. There's a smaller gap. You could get mediocre D2 players and an amazing coach. And who knows what happens? Who knows what happens? That was pretty much Jack Golke. Jack Golke wasn't lighting the world on fire at the D2 level. But he went to a program that fit him with a coach that will let him shoot the three ball. And look, he's a national name now, and everybody loves him.
Yep, and by the way, he went to Hillsdale College out there in the great Midwest. So got to give Hillsdale a little bit of love there. And we always have to give you a lot of love, Nick, because you do an amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. You're out there in Arizona this week, so let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, I'll be at the Final Four games on Saturday, the national championship game on Monday, and then time to just chill out and look at the transfer portal for the last few weeks before we head into practice. But I'll be posting over a mid-major madness, all the big transfer stuff that's going on. But it's kind of a dead period. We're heading towards baseball here. You know, my Buccos are playing every day. The Orioles are on. I love baseball. I love basketball. When those two can mix together and happen at the same time, there's not much better than that. But you can follow me over on Twitter at Mid-Under-Madness and at N. Lawrence in Sports.
Absolutely. Nick does such a great job taking a look at this tremendous game of college basketball that we all know and love. And it's always great to get him aboard. A big thanks to Nick for joining me on Cusco Hoops, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And coming up next, it is the Final Four. I get you guys my picks and analysis for both of these big games next as we hit some bank shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
And we're back in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSIN Family Podcast. Was great to be able to get Nick Lawrence in aboard. He does an amazing job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball. He follows it all 12 months out of the year. Every single time he joins this show, he lends such good insights and did so once again today. So big thanks to Nick for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis for both games on this final four as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter feed at GNN_81. And, well, we've got two games on the board. It goes Alabama versus UConn and NC State versus Purdue. I did a write-up for both of these just because, well, we've got three games left in the season, these two, and then the national title game for Monday, so might as well write them all up. But let's start out with 671, 672 on the card. It is Alabama versus UConn, with UConn being a favorite of anywhere between 11.5 to 12 points. Totals between 160.5 and 161, and I'm going to be willing to roll with UConn, and the write-up pick for this game is going to be the spread on UConn. I did set them as a 12.5 point favorite. Reason why I made this write-up pick is because UConn has played 10 NCAA tournament games over the last two NCAA tournaments. They have won every single one of these games by at least 13 points. They have been an absolute bulldozer. This team is checking all the boxes. They are a top team in the country in terms of both points scored and points allowed on a per-possession basis. For UConn, 11th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. Number one in all of college basketball in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. It's just so hard to slow this team down. As a matter of fact, UConn is scoring 1.6 points more per 100 possessions away from home than any other team in all of college basketball, and 3.1 points more per 100 possessions one away from home than Alabama. And I do believe that the shooter's eye of Alabama is going to be thrown off quite a bit in this game, with it being played out there in the home of the Arizona Cardinals in a football stadium, because Alabama is a top 20 team in all of college basketball in terms of percentage of their shots that they take from three-point range. Meanwhile, you've got a UConn team that Sure, they're able to take some threes. You've got someone like a Cam Spencer that shoots well north of 44% from distance, but at the same time, you're able to pound it down low with Donovan Clingan. I have no idea how Grant Nelson is going to try to match up there as this UConn team, one of the best teams in all of college basketball in terms of rebound rate. And I will say, to the credit of Alabama, they're actually a top 50 team in the country in terms of their rebound rate. You've got someone like Aaron Action Estrada is able to give you about 5 boards, 4 assists. He throws in their double-figure amount of points as Mark Sears is really your main man. But I just don't think that they're going to be able to hold up there. And Alex Caravan gets such short shrift because we all talk about Donovan Clingan, the way that he affects shots, but Caravan is someone that stands north of 6'7". He's able to shoot about 38.5% from three, throwing in their 13 points per contest. And that triple-double machine, Tristan Newton, gives you 15 points, 6 assists, nearly 7 boards, a steal per contest. It's just so hard to match up with for an Alabama team that is in the bottom 20 nationally in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis and games played away from home. Again, I do think that playing in the SEC is a little bit of a byproduct of that, and it's not like they face off against easy competition, but this is a unit that they just don't play very good defense at all. And when Alabama gets down quite big in games, this is a big reason why I do like the over. You do notice that they foul a lot. They do everything humanly possible. They do not mind if they get just blown out by 25, 30 points. So I do think that the blowout potential is very big. They are either going to win the game outright or they're just going to fall on their sword. They are very much an all or nothing team with that respect. I do think that for Alabama, they could be able to get a little bit warm and be able to pop a few threes in this one. But again, I do think that early on, the sight lines really going to be throwing them off. Donovan Clingan, with what he's able to do down low, fully recognize that this is a UConn team that has been really good on defense. You take a look at what they've been able to do since the beginning of the month of March. You've only had one team really be able to exceed the 67-point plateau on them. That was St. John's in that just harebrained crazy game that we saw out there in Madison Square Garden. But this is a UConn team that they're able to get 85-plus on the regular. And for this Alabama unit, they have given up north of 85 points in 4 of their last 5 games as well. So it is a situation of something's got to give. I think that Alabama is going to be looking to run it. They're going to be looking to gun it, and they're going to give UConn so many easy opportunities to be able to get points. And I think that that's going to lead to a high-scoring game and another blowout win for UConn. So my write-up pick, that is going to be on UConn laying the number. And I did set my total at 164.5, so looking at the over. And then we are going to go to NC State versus Purdue. This is 673-674 with Purdue. In most places, a 9-point favorite. You're seeing one or two straight 8.5s out there as well. Total is mostly 146.5. Seeing one straight 146 out there. And my write-up here is going to be on the under. I set my total more around a 143.5 because with Purdue, if you've noticed their game since the beginning of the month of February, their last 13 games, they've been playing at a rate of about 4.2 possessions per game fewer than they did in their first 22 to 23 games of the season. So they've been looking to wind it down there, and I was alluding to Alabama in the previous game and how the shooter's eye, how just this game being played at a football stadium affects them. Purdue is the number 2 team in all of college basketball in terms of 3-point shooting percentage, and you have to have a feeling that that's going to take a little bit of a drop-off. They go up against an NC State team that they're not a dominant team in terms of being able to guard the arc. They've gotten much better recently. Now, I will say a little bit of that has been some positive variance as well. Like for anyone that was watching that Marquette game, Marquette was just bricking open 3 after open 3, but both of these teams, they do a nice job of being able to guard the perimeter for Purdue. Their lying opponents only shoot right around about 31.6% from three-point range in games played away from home. So they've been able to do a rock-solid job with that regard. And for NC State, they are still well outside the top 100 in terms of overall opponent's three-point shooting percentage, but it's been getting better as the tournament has gone along. I just fear that they are going to get completely lambasted on the glass. You have to go up against Giant of the Earth, Zach Edey, who's giving you 12-plus boards. He's giving you multiple blocks. He's giving you 21-plus points per game. And as much as we love DJ Burns, he's only hauling in there about 4 rebounds per contest, and it's been Mohamed Diarra who's been your main rebounder for the team. Mohamed Diarra has done a solid job. He's been able to log for the team about 7.5 or so rebounds per game. And DJ Horn, that is our DJ, he's been able to give you 16-plus points, shoots it well from 3-point range. But for NC State, I just don't know if they have the firepower to match up with someone like a Braden Smith, who's really been able to step up this year, shooting well north of 40% from 3. And for Purdue, all but one of their top 8 scorers are shooting at least 35% from 3-point range, so they really do get it from everyone. Smith has been able to give out 7-plus assists, 6-plus rebounds per game, so he's been rock solid there. Guys like Trey Kaufman, Wren have been able to do a solid job, be able to step up. And for NC State, is someone like a Ben Millerbrooks, who gives you about like 4 rebounds per game, is relatively solid down low. Is he really going to be able to match up with some of the depth of Purdue? I do think that the answer is no, but I've noticed with NC State, they've been looking to slow down their tempo a little bit as well, so I do think that this is going to be a little bit of a slow slog. I think that both of these teams, once again, get negatively affected by this game being played at a football stadium in terms of their shooting as well, which is a big reason why I did write up the under in this spot. And for Purdue, I do think that they find a way to be able to get it done. This NC State team has looked completely transformed. If you look at the recent form of this NC State team, much better than what you saw for the entirety of the season. Like, if we were going off of entire season numbers, NC State should be north of a 12-point underdog. I set my number more around a 9.5. I do have to respect the run that NC State has been able to put together, but I do think that it ends here. I'm going to be willing to lay it with Purdue, and with my write-up, I'm going to be looking at the under, and that wraps things up for the Saturday edition of Cuscus Superstar, part of the VSIN Family Podcast. A big thanks to Nick Lawrenson, who does great work over at Mid-Major Madness. He joined me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Cuscus Heaps, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter/xtimeline at @GDN_41. Keep in mind, large DM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. Other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day throughout the year, regular season and off season with this podcast. So I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And,
Not
to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.